This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody. Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus. New Year's Day. New Year's, a holiday edition of 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host, Matt Barrows of The Athletic. Lots going on. Obviously, a humongous game against the Seahawks on Saturday night. I don't think we have to go back over the discourse over the 49ers grumbling about two short weeks in a row. This is the way it was. They did not draw the Sunday night game. They're not the number one game on the list. Too bad. Sorry about that, 49ers fans. But this is a big game, period. This is the work week you've got. As we always do to start these kind of late week episodes, especially for one this important for a game for the number one seed in the NFC playoff tournament. Barrows, who's going to likely to be missing this game, you think, just based on what they've been doing in practice?
Well, or what they haven't been doing.
Or haven't been doing.
Actually being present. Trent Williams, left tackle, which normally would be cause for panic at this time of year. Oh, he's been healthy, and here they are going into this this huge game, this Week 18 game, and he's probably not going to be there. But Austin Pleasants was so efficient, in substitution, all but one snap on Sunday, that's been allayed a little bit. Now, he wasn't going up against the world's greatest pass rusher. The Bears' best pass rusher, Montez Sweat, was going up against Colton McKibitz for most of the night. So it wasn't a huge test for Austin Pleasants. He'll get a bigger one against Boye Mafe and that better than Chicago defensive line for the Seahawks. And then the other guy who's going to be missing is Keon White, and probably nobody is really too concerned about that, but maybe they should be, because as you've noted, Keon White, it's not a ton of pressures, but the most pressures of all of the defensive linemen over the last few weeks. So he's stepped up. He's good when he's rushing from that defensive tackle position, just gets off the ball quickly. So those two guys probably will not play. Upton Stout is a little bit up in the air. I think he's progressing through the concussion protocol, but you never know if he's going to progress all the way. It's more difficult on a short week, of course. But I do think that George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk and certainly Christian McCaffrey will all be in the lineup for this huge game on Saturday.
And Ricky Pearsall, I don't know how big a question that was, but he's practiced too also.
He's practiced too also and came out. Yeah, you probably saw him. There was a legitimate question. Remember, he caught a deep ball along the sideline and then cut back into the field and ran into a linebacker and then went down hard on the knee. And sort of the 2020 hindsight question was, why doesn't he just run out of bounds, just mm-hmm. given his knee issue? That may be something that he'll start to do, but I don't think that it had a lot of effect on him the rest of the game and this week in practice.
Well, let's just say, you know, I've been saying it kind of week by week through this. If somebody is banged up and does not practice on the two important work days, usually Wednesday and Thursday, because this game is on Saturday, it's Tuesday and Wednesday. If they don't practice both days, they are not likely going to play. And I think fans should just get used to that. No matter what Shanahan and Lynch say, you know, they're going to try to sound optimistic. They're going to say there's a chance he's going to play, like said about Kittle last week. If he's not practicing those 2 days, he's not going to play. Very, very likely. Now, you get into playoff game, maybe things are a little different, maybe with a vet. Like if Trent Williams into a playoff game doesn't practice 2 days, maybe they're going to hold out hope. But beyond that, they're not going to play. It just, this is how you prep for a game. You practice at least one of those days. And if you're not a veteran, you practice both those days. That's how you prepare. If you have not practiced those days, you're not prepared in Kyle Shanahan's mind. And largely I would agree with that. So probably almost certainly going without Trent Williams and Keon White. That's something to mark down. I think Seattle has its own injuries. Rashid Shaheed, they're a really good punt returner, like their second best receiver in concussion protocol. I don't think he's going to play. There probably are some nicks, but important to underline all those things. And let's see how Austin Pleasant's done in the second game, right? You never know. But he really was worth noting how little you talked about him, as Shanahan says. Like, we only mentioned his name once. I feel like yeah, you're not talking about the broadcast. You're talking about, like, within yourself. So are you, like, ripping guys when they're, like, probably is ripping guys when he sees a mistake? Like,
I'm wondering what he was talking about there, whether it's, okay, it's third and long. Do we have to call a play that sort of protects Austin Pleasance? It may have been the sack play. Purdy was only sacked once, and it was on a very wide rollout to his right. So away from Pleasance. And, you know, the guy going against Pleasance just kind of went around him, you know, a long loop, which usually in a normal pocket is exactly what you want if you're the 49ers. The guy's basically out of the play, but such a slow developing play that the defensive end eventually caught up with Purdy and then hit him from behind. But so to me, I don't know if you give him a demerit for that one, but that was one of only two pass protection issues he had in a full game. So I thought it was a strong game. It'll be interesting. He's gotten a lot of attention this week. Sometimes it's easier just to, I have to go in, and you don't ever kind of have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You just have to react. So it'll be interesting. They like him. I mean, they like him in the locker room. They like him in the offensive line room. He's been an easy fit into that team. So I would imagine that he's somebody that they want to keep around for the future and maybe to be that swing tackle that's been so elusive to them. You know, we'll talk more about this in the offseason, but Spencer Burford is a free agent. Ben Bartsch is a free agent. A couple of guys on that offensive line, they're going to have to make decisions about. And I would think that Austin Pleasance, I think that he would want to come back because he's been, you know, basically a vagabond to this point in his career, going from practice squad to practice squad. And it feels like he's finally found a home here. And then, of course, the 49ers could use tackles very, very heavily. It's sort of an interesting case in point. I mean, they do not, as we know, usually draft tackles or offensive linemen in the early rounds, and they hit the bargain bins. They think that they can kind of find diamonds in the rough. And, you know, maybe if Pleasance has a second straight game, that's true, that they can identify these guys and take castoffs from other teams, look at their skill set and say, okay, if he gets a full offseason with us, we can turn him into something. And that's what that's what happened with Austin Pleasance.
I don't want to, we've already talked way too much about Austin Pleasance, but two things. I'm going to make this even worse. Shanahan pointed out, like, it's been good that he practices almost every Wednesday because Trent Williams does not practice. So that's, he talked about how Jalen Moore got extra reps that way, and it really helped Jalen Moore when Trent went, and then to play when Trent got hurt in the past. That's a great point. And two, it's a lot better to be doing this at Levi Stadium for a young tackle that's never played very much, as opposed to going to do it in Seattle. Like, that's a, I think if this game was in Seattle, it would be a massive crisis. It would be like, what? They'd have to put Kittle over there because the snap count gets screwed up. You have to go silent count. I mean, how many times have we seen the Seahawks defensive line just destroy the 49ers offense? Not recently, by the way, not recently, but many, many times they just get overwhelmed because the sound, because the reaction time, all those things. So those two things, which this lead me back to just the enormity of them winning in Seattle in week one. Now, they've done this. This is Brock Purdy wins in Seattle. Brock Purdy is 6-1 against the Seahawks if you include the playoff game, which obviously you should. This is interesting stuff. But that win, if they do not win that game, if Jake Tongas does not come down with that touchdown pass, this game is meaningless. Seattle is the number one seed. Seattle wins the NFC West, and the 49ers are a wild card team. Doesn't matter. All else could be the same. That was a massive game. And also, I think the 49ers match up pretty good with the Seahawks. I'm not, you know, I don't think it's guaranteed that they win this game, but they do match up. They've just, you know, we're just so used to the Seahawks being this, oh my God, the nemesis, Seahawks, they came and kicked the shit out of the 49ers. That hasn't happened recently. I kind of threw out last year, but even then, those are pretty close games. I think they lost, they won once and they lost by three in this terrible season for the 49ers. I just think there's something about this matchup that's pretty good for the 49ers. Obviously, having won six of the last seven, I think the quarterback is it. Barros, a lot of it is they just got a better quarterback. And I know Darnold won a ton of games, has started off well this year. It kind of, you look at the stats, they're not very good overall on the season. I just think that's where the 49ers have beat the Seahawks in the Purdy era. And I think that's where their edge is. It's a big edge, in my opinion, going into this game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I thought that the worst thing that happened to the NFC West in the offseason was that Geno Smith left the Seahawks, because I always felt like Geno Smith was just good enough to keep a starting job, but not good enough to ever do any real damage in big games in the playoffs. And so the question is whether the Seahawks have, you know, improved or dramatically improved with Sam Darnold. And I think that they have, but you're right. I mean, he's still flawed in some ways. The processing, the decision making, every now and then, the old Sam Darnold still rises to the surface. And so that, to me, is the question in this game. I mean, make Sam Darnold uncomfortable, and he might make a mistake. The question is whether the 49ers can make Sam Darnold uncomfortable. And so that's, well, I guess we'll get to our predictions at the end of this podcast. But that would be my major concern, is that can, you know, they've got a good running game. You know, it's a little like the Bears. The Seahawks have, you know, one really good receiver out there, Jackson Smith and Jigba. He would be like the Luther Burden the other night, and they've got a strong running game. The difference is that Seattle's got a really, really good defense and a really good special teams too, by the way. If you're ranking special teams in the league, the 49ers are up there. They might be the second best special teams in the league, but the Seahawks might be the best one. So it's really a well-balanced team, certainly more well-balanced than the Bears were last week. It's going to be a tough one. It's going to be rainy, although we're recording this on Thursday morning. And as of right now, and it's been changing constantly, but it does seem like there's going to be a window the rain in, you know, basically around kickoff. It actually may be partly sunny at that point, with then some very light rain occurring in the second half and throughout the evening, but certainly not a torrent. And here's the thing. The 49ers have had a very odd practice week. because it's two straight short weeks of preparation, and Shanahan wanted to give them as much rest as possible. Sleep and rest have become dominant themes, much more so than 10 years ago when everyone raced to get into the building. You wanted to show that you were the first guy in. Now it's, you know, we don't want to see you before 10 a.m. We want you to sleep in, get 9.5 hours, et cetera. So they've had two basically walkthrough practices, and they've both been at Levi's Stadium after 5 p.m., and they've both been in the rain, too. So that's been sort of the Brock Purdy thing, is that he's had rain games that he's had to play in, but it's never rained that week in practice. So he's never gotten to sort of train for the same conditions that he's going to be playing in. And that definitely has been the case this week. He's been throwing with a wet ball. It'll be today will be probably one of the more extensive practices that they've had. And it's around 1 o'clock, and it'll be on the usual practice field, but it'll be wet out there. I mean, it's been raining all week. So it'll be interesting to see whether he performs better in wet conditions after practicing in wet conditions, which I don't think that he's had to this point in his career.
That's our standard meteorology Matt segment. If I could just say the word, we could get a sponsorship or something.
I need a green screen behind me.
We got a
cold front coming in from the north,
and inject Purdy's hands into it, and the ball. I don't know. There's something there, and let's just say not extensive work. Yeah, this will not be a hard working practice. This is a
safe
practice. He just means in the rain. There'll be most of the time will be in the rain.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Fans get jumpy on stuff. So let's just be clear. Because the game's on Saturday, this is essentially a Friday-like practice, which is light. But they've had light practices throughout, as you would imagine. Asked Shanahan about it, and he said, yeah, they're just cutting down. Like they're backing everything up so players can sleep and get their rest, which means they're cutting some meetings. So something has to give, because they don't want the players to be there till 8, right? They don't want that either. So they're trying to get them out of there as about the same time as usual. But with the late practices, that means there's going to be cuts. And that means it's going to be playoff. It means, you know, it's tough, like, you know, do the media stuff. Like there's very little excess time they've got for everybody. If next week they have the bye, guys, the media is going to be all over that place, because we're going to have hopefully get a little time, extra time with them. I'm sure counting on it, Barrows. I know people really care about what I'm doing, but I had 70 seconds with Purdy yesterday. It was like, wow, this is going
to
be really
That's the real incentive to get the bye is to get so that more time these guys can have extra Tim Kawakami FaceTime.
I mean, during the week. That's part of the rewards. That's part of the rewards of all this. Any other major things you're looking at in this really large game besides the quarterbacks?
The ability to stop the run. I think that's they haven't really played a team yet that's got a great defense and a great running game. The 49ers formula is to get on top of these opponents and force them out of their running attack. So I think that'll be a test for them. I mean, this is the playoffs. This is a playoff-like opponent. It's got playoff-like, stakes. So this is the best tune-up yet. And the 49ers have been lucky that it's gotten piecemeal more and more difficult for them over the last, 5 weeks? I mean, started out with some kind of only okay teams like the Titans, like the Panthers, and then you graduate to having to play Phillip Rivers, the Phillip Rivers hype train in Indianapolis, and then you get the Bears, on a hot streak. A great second half team, and now you get a very well-rounded team. And this is what you're going to face in January. It is January. Where you're going to face later in January.
So January
1, baby. It's a great test. It's a great test of a lot of things. This has been a resilient group, and a group that doesn't, for the most part, that doesn't overlook things, doesn't get too high on themselves. It's been a very level-headed team, despite lots of iterations of the team. That's been a constant. And that goes back to that off-season meeting that Shanahan had with the team leaders, and really kind of set a good tone for the rest of the year. And they've been sort of kind of using that tone, feeding off that tone, ever since. So, we can go back to our usual debate about whether they should have done more at the trade deadline. But I think that they feel kind of confident that they can take on anybody and win over the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, we don't have to talk too much about it, but I wrote, and I do feel that they kind of are glad in the locker room that the 49ers didn't go out of their way to get new players at the deadline. These are who we got. This is our team. We're not short of players. We got our players. Obviously, a great defensive lineman would have helped, and no one would have been arguing against that. But I think they kind of like that. They're kind of rallying around that. You guys don't think we got enough without Fred Warner and Nick Bosa and whoever else. And that's always good. And no shot at Fred Warner, Nick Bosa. But I think they're kind of tired of hearing that. Oh, God, what would happen if Fred comes back? Wouldn't that be the greatest? They would love to have Fred Warner back. I want to make that very clear. They just hate the questioning, like, you need these guys back or else you're not good. They're probably not that good. We've seen it. They gave up over 400 yards to the Bears. But I get the mentality of you guys don't think we have enough. We got enough. So that's carried through. I think there is a limit to how much that can carry you. Obviously, they need the offense to be fantastic to continue to play like this. But I get that point. I didn't want to belabor it, but I do. There was a question like, well, maybe, they don't go full out to win this game because they're in the playoffs. No, you go full out because you want the one seed. You want the bye week. You want home field advantage throughout the playoffs into the Super Bowl. And also, you don't want to be the sixth seed, because I think it looks like the Rams are going to try to win. They'll probably win. So if the Rams win, the 49ers lose, the 49ers are the sixth seed. And it looks like the Eagles don't care about winning. So, it'd be hard for them to get to 2, because all that has to happen is for the Bears to win. So if the Eagles don't care and they're the 3, and you're the six, you're going to Philadelphia. And I think we've talked about that. That would probably be the worst draw for the 49ers. Get on the road, tough defense. That probably be – I think the Seahawks is a good model for playing the Eagles, and these are two teams that, you know, that just physical. So play a physical game against the Seahawks after two short weeks. You would probably have the – who knows if they're going to be – if they this all happens, they might be playing Saturday and they might be playing Sunday in the wild card round, but you still would be banged up going against an even more physical Eagles team. That would be tough. You really want to – there's a massive difference for the 49ers between winning this game and losing if you drop to the six. It is a mini playoff game. I can see a path to the Super Bowl if they get the one seed. I don't think it's the likeliest path, but it's not a terrible path. If they lose and they go to the six seed, I don't think they're getting out of the tournament. And I don't think anybody would really, really expect them to, maybe in that locker room, which is fine. But that's a clear line, man, Barros. Like maybe a 40% chance to get the Super Bowl if you win that game, and maybe like a 10% if you lose, something like that. That, man, that's as big a swing as I can think of. Even in 19, when it came down the last play at the goal line in Seattle, get the one seed, that was a great 49ers team. Like that was just a loaded 49ers team that probably could have gotten through on the road. I don't know if it was much more likely they would get through at home, but that you didn't think, okay, it's all over. That's this swing game, man, Barros, is as big a 49ers swing game as I can remember coming down to the final week of the season.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, your ideal, if you're the 49ers, is that the Rams and the Eagles play each other at some point and knock each other out, which probably wouldn't happen if you have to.
Well, they're not going to knock each other. They're not going to knock each other out. They're going to only knock one of them.
Well, right. Well, yeah, one's going to knock the other out. But if you have to go to Philadelphia, that's probably not going to happen at some point. I wrote about this today. Like, what is the one team that the 49ers probably should, you know, certainly would want to avoid? And it's the Eagles. You know, they just play such an ugly brand of football. I likened it to that Logan Roy quote in Succession. Remember when he has dinner with his son, one of the later episodes, and he says that, you know, life is not, you know, riding in on a horse. Life is a fight for a knife in the mud. And that's how the Eagles win these games. And I don't think that the 49ers can win a knife fight in the mud. I just don't think that their defense can hold up. And the Eagles have an excellent offensive line. They've got an excellent running back, and they've got a quarterback that can run the ball. And all three of those things are kryptonite for this year's 49ers. Oh, and they also have Vic Fangio as their defensive coordinator. That's a tough draw. You, if you're the 49ers, you hope somebody knocks out the Eagles, which is possible, but I just don't think that the 49ers could do it.
And even getting through that game would take so much out of them, I think. Forget about the bad memories they have of the last trip to Philadelphia in the playoffs. I mean, awful, awful memories of that one for the injury to Brock Purdy just alone. And then if you get through that, which you might, but then you have to go get on a plane and probably go somewhere else, maybe to Chicago, maybe to, maybe to Seattle. Like that's probably most likely is you end up having to go through the Eagles and then Seattle and then maybe the Rams at the end of it. You know, when you talk about lining it up ideally or lining up worst case, that would be the worst case scenario to try to win those three games all on the road, all traveling. Well, I guess that you would travel if you're on the road. It would be really rough, but that's what this game is so big. That's what, you ride your star players. It's going to be Purdy. It's going to be McCaffrey. It's going to be whoever, Kittle. It's going to be whoever else they can manufacture to do it on defense. I just think the Seahawks are a decent matchup for this version of the 49ers because they don't test you as much defensively. There isn't as much, oh my God, how are they going to cover this guy? There's one guy, Smith and Jigba, who's incredible and really hurt them in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Really good. And you know, you would want Upton Stout for that. It's going to be tough for him, but because I do believe Smith and Jigba lines up as a slot receiver a lot.
And that was a full health 49ers defense at that point.
That's right. That's right. And it just, that guy's going to be tough, but there isn't another guy that if I'm the 49ers, I'm all too worried about. Darnold can make throws. I'm not trying to rip him, but he can throw the ball to the wrong team and off and does. As leads the league in turnovers, leads the league in fumbles, by the way. 6 lost fumbles. I don't know if he leads the league in fumbles, but he has in combined turnovers, 14 interceptions, 6 lost fumbles. That's a lot. And Purdy's not, you know, he'll turn the ball over too, but not at that rate. This is just a better match. Again, very even kind of matchup, but the fact that this game is in Levi's, the fact that they've beat them already, the fact that Purdy and Shanahan are on a bit of a run against the Seahawks. So it looks like, a game that the 49ers should go into this feeling good about. We shall see how it turns out. You want to make any predictions on how this game ends, Barrows?
I am predicting a Seahawks win.
There we go.
It might be my fatalistic thing of like, I'm going to have to go to Philadelphia. I'm just accepting my fate here. But like I said about the Eagles, it's just, to me, it's a bad matchup for the 49ers in terms of the strengths. I don't think the 49ers didn't do very well on special teams, for example, against the Bears. Their return game, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't what they've been getting. So if you're not getting those boosts to help your defense, to help your offense, that's been part of their formula. So let's just say that those are kind of neutral in this game. I just think that, I'll put it this way. I think that the Seahawks defense against the 49ers offense, the two kind of strengths of the team, the strength of the Seahawks offense against the 49ers defense is so big that it outweighs the other advantage that the 49ers have. So I think the aggregate of all three phases favors the Seahawks.
I can see a lot of that. I think the Seahawks might just be the better overall team, and they have won 6 in a row, just like the 49ers. So there's a lot that would point me to the Seahawks. Other than, I just think the best quarterback, best coach quarterback usually wins the biggest games. Not every time. Certainly Purdy could throw a couple picks. We've seen that happen. Certainly Darnold could have a big game against a very circumspect and vulnerable 49ers defense. I just think the team that has it put together at those two spots, when you're just saying it's the biggest thing moment, figure it out. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's not going to do it. I'll pick Purdy and Shanahan. Again, could be wrong. They could have a good game. The offense could had a great game last week and almost lost, won by 2 yards. So all that could be good rhetoric and mean nothing at the end of the game. But I'll just go with that. The 49ers are on a roll offensively, smoking, plus 400 yards or more last 3 games. They've set a season high each of the last 3 games. They are rolling. The quarterback's rolling. They'll have Kittle back. McCaffrey, it's going to be some tough running, but he had picked up big yards against Seattle in week 1. I just like that, the way that's set up. I like Pinero to hit a big kick. I think he's, after he was back, he missed a few games. He came back. He was a little shaky for a week or two, but he looks great now. I think it's set up to be, remember, they had Jake Moody as their kicker in week 1. Unbelievably.
Yeah,
and they won, and they still won. Jason Myers, a good kicker, missed a field goal attempt in that game too. As the 49ers, like every week they have had a kicker miss a field goal against them, and they just drill theirs after the Moody era. So I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think it's going to come down to the end. Of course it will. I don't think the 49ers are going for 400 yards on this one. Obviously, I don't think Seattle is either. This is going to be like every 49ers Seattle game, 2017, 22, 24, 21, one of those. just think the 49ers have it going enough. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to set themselves up to have a chance to it. And I don't think they have much of it if they lose. I think they're going to win. Again, it could come down to forcing a Darnold turnover. This is not a great turnover team defensively. They don't get a big pass rush, but maybe Darnold just throws it to the wrong team. Maybe somebody bursts through and knocks the ball loose. Something like that might have to happen. But if the 49ers have a turnover advantage, they're going to win. Let's see if they can have the turnover advantage. Let's see if Purdy can avoid a turnover when we know he throws those tight window passes. I'm just realizing another question I wanted to ask him yesterday that I couldn't get in because I didn't have a lot of time, but maybe I'll have some time next week. Everyone should cheer for that. Barros, there's some other stuff going on here.
Wait. Let me ask you about your prediction. Are you factoring in the
precipitation?
The precipitation. Barros,
by the way, yeah, he's putting on his hoodie right now. Yeah, I think that's all. You know, listen, and you know, we know the Seahawks are used to playing in the rain. We know that, you know, they should be a good mudder. Yeah, it's all part of it. I just think there's going to be slipperiness. There's going to be issues for both teams if there's rain. I don't think it's going to be worse for the 49ers than anyone else. They'll point to that that Browns game. They keep mentioning the Browns game now. We understand it was big at the time, but now they look back and see, we played in that weather. We knew it was going to be tough.
It wasn't raining, though. It was windy.
Yeah, it was windy, but it would rain before. So I'm just saying they're saying it. I'm not saying it's the definitive thing of how they play. I just think they feel confident in it. They will have a full practice, well, whatever practices they're going to have this week in the conditions. I think it'll be, and again, I'm not counting on them to go for 450. They're not going for 450. Can they go for 310 and hold the Seahawks to 260 and make it a 2-touchdowns-to-1-touchdown game and would throw some field goals in there? Something like that, I think they can. Again, you know, maybe Purdy can't throw in the rain. We'll see. And obviously that'll be a huge story if it happens. Maybe, you know, their guys are slipping all around. I mean, I don't think either side's going to have a great pass rush if it's raining, right? We know that because it's much more an offensive advantage on the passing game when the defensive line cannot get good footing. That's just a standard. Usually it's the quarterback standing back there and having some time because, there's just no traction for the defensive lineman. They need traction to get their feet dug in and then cut upfield. So I just throw that up there as I don't know, and I don't think I'm going to dock the 49ers for the weather. Maybe I'm wrong at that. I think it's going to be tough for both sides. I think there's going to be slippery stuff happening to both teams. I just don't think it's going to be the 49ers are not, you know, a super zippy, zippy, zippy team, right? They're not. They're kind of a grinded out team. Even when they're going for 440 yards offensively, they're doing it with throws up the middle. They're doing, you know, they're not airing it out, just going crazy. So could be wrong, but I'll say it's negligible. It'll happen. It'll change the game. I don't know if it will affect the outcome, is what I'm saying. But we'll see. I know Barros will be out there early and be putting like things up in the balloons. You're going to send weather balloons up there.
Weather balloons, ribbons. I want to test the air quality, all sorts of stuff.
Humidity ozone factor. Yeah. It's going to be all kinds of stuff. But I think 49ers feel like this is a group that can travel through whatever weather. Now, obviously defense is the number one thing you want in the middle of weather because it stands up. But I don't think pass rush does. So if you negate the pass rush, 49ers go, yes, because we don't have one. So who cares if the pass rush is there? It will be, and again, Tatum Bethune will have to have another big game. The winners, like, these are important parts of this, no question. They're their best players right now on defense, those two guys. They need to continue.
You're saying that the weather might neutralize that Sam Okwuonu pass rush.
Yeah, you know? that big
he
push.
Not, he might not get like three or four sacks.
Sam Okwuonu, and I don't even know. I guess Bryce Huff would be the other one. But beyond that, is there anyone on that team? I guess you can say
Cleveland Furl and Yetur Gross-Matos are the other healthy defensive end. Maybe they'll have Robert Beal up. He could add to his zero sack total for the season. Pat his stats a little bit.
I make fun of the Yetur Gross-Matos not because he's of the players, just because of how much they've committed to him this season without him being active for most of it. So maybe it will be him. I do want to point out just the things I think about. I did ask Shanahan about Isaac Arendo being inactive the last 2 weeks. I know fans are very aware of this. And he just says that he wanted Jordan James. He's been practicing well. He wanted to get him maybe, you know, a carry or two. Did not happen. Again, Jordan James is ahead of Garendo. Has been even with Jordan James getting hurt, he's ahead of Garendo. I just think fans should note that. This is what's happened. And like Garendo gets docked for getting hurt, but Jordan James doesn't. Or maybe James is hurt less, or he's just picking up the offense faster or whatever. But Isaac Garendo is not going to be on this team next year. I don't think there's any much doubt about that because he's been beaten out by Jordan James. It doesn't affect this game very much, but it's just like if you have an open question about this in their minds in training camp, Jordan James moved ahead of Isaac Garendo, period. They're not changing that. And whether that's disappointment in Garendo, I think there's a little bit of that, but it's also they're pretty excited about Jordan James. I think Jordan James is their backup tailback going into next offseason. We'll see if he can stay healthy, but he's RB2 in my opinion.
I think that's right. I don't think that they're going to cut Isaac Garendo. He's under contract, under a rookie contract. He might get cut in late August, early September, yeah. But they'll go through the offseason.
Or they'll trade him. Or they'll trade him, you know, for something very little. But
yeah, yeah. They also have Patrick Taylor, who's been in the locker room. I mean, every now and then I run across him and I think, oh, who's that guy? And I realize, oh, that's Patrick Taylor. So he's been on IR all season, but he's been there. He's been present, which to me is always a sign that, you know, if the guy is just gone, out of sight, out of mind, he's probably not going to be back. But guys who hang around through their IR stints often get invited back the following season. So, yeah, that'll be an interesting one. I mean, they didn't trade away. Thank God they didn't trade away that third round pick at the trade deadline because they could use that on a
running back.
I think you're right on that. I don't really know what poor Isaac Garendo did to kind of to fall by the wayside. You know, it's a very particular position group. You've got, you know, a very old school coach and Bobby Turner who's doing it. And if you run afoul of Bobby Turner in some way, that's it. That's gospel. There's really kind of no way out of that. So I don't know. I mean, it's certainly not attitude, bad attitude from Isaac Garendo. He's the sweetest guy out there, but it just may be kind of grit and consistency and all the things that you need as a running back. When all is said and done, it'll be worth it to do a story on what is it that makes some of these guys, run afoul of the 49ers at that spot. I mean, it's a long list now. Ty Davis Price, Trey Sermon, Isaac Garendo. There's something that these guys that they liken these guys to draft them fairly high, and then they just.
Utah running back who retired?
Joe Williams. Williams.
Yep. It's interesting. Well, speaking of showing up in the locker room, I don't know if he's been there, but Fred Warner I saw briefly in there. I don't want to like tout whatever he's going to come back, but he definitely was in a good mood. Like he was smiling and laughing, not limping, and I think he stopped limping a long time ago. I think he's like – you talk about a guy whose presence changes the dynamic in the locker room, on the practice field, whatever, that's Fred Warner. And I think sometimes I'm a little leery of talking about a guy's going to be back because I think it's over-optimism. I think you're promising things that maybe aren't going to happen. I think with Warner, it's worth it. It just gives people, like, this guy is a superstar who's going to be back. And even when I said maybe they get tired of hearing about Fred Warner, that's just the outside. The outside stuff like, oh, you're terrible without Fred Warner. They do know how much it would help them to have Fred Warner back in there whenever it's going to be. I would think the earliest would be for an NFC Championship game, maybe for the Super Bowl. But just seeing him in there does change the way you feel about this team. They got a lot of stars, even when guys are hurt. he does change the attitude of a team just by walking around, just by thinking that 54 might be back in the lineup in 2 or 3 weeks. And have you heard anything, got a feel of any update on when Fred Warner, they're kind of thinking he's going to be back?
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the one, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, vast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
Yes. I mean, and it's always the player is more optimistic than what the actuality is. But, you know, he thinks that he can be back for a divisional round. And that's what he's aiming for. And that's what you have to do as a player. Now, that's just, you know, just talking to his teammates and what he's told them and things like that. I don't think that's official in any way, shape, or form. I did chat him up yesterday, and I said, you know, in one of the clips that they showed before the Sunday night game, shows him doing his rehab, and so he's on the treadmill, and he's in the pool. And I said, have you become a good swimmer because of this rehab? And his eyes lit up. He's like, oh yeah, I'm way better now than I used to be. He was never much of a swimmer, but now he's like, you know, improving his times, and he's intent on becoming good at that sport. So, I mean, I'm just trying to explain to you the mentality that he has. All he can do right now is swim. So he's becoming like Olympic level swimmer. He's gonna be at Los Angeles doing the, the 100 meter fly. So yeah,
aggregate that Barrow's reports.
He's working his you know what off to be back. This is his mission in life right now, aside from his family, is to be back before anyone expects him to be. And, you know, you knew that when the injury happened. Remember how unfazed he looked as he's being taken off the field. I mean, I'll never forget that. That's a gruesome injury. Your foot is pointed in the wrong direction.
I don't even want to hear it. Yeah.
It's just something that you never want to see. And he just seemed to be taking it in stride. He seemed to kind of know, okay, I'm gonna come back from this, and this is not the last of your that you're gonna see of me this season, and I'm going to shock everybody. And I just think that he took that attitude into this rehab.
Yeah, I just say that's great. Every great competitor feels that. You want that. This is how it's possible. You don't want to do it just because. Now, if you're the team, not Fred, the team and the doctors, just to prove you can do it, right?
Yeah.
You want to do it when he's ready to do it. And I just think that's the outside possibility. The Super Bowl is a safe possibility. That makes the NFC Championship game. To me, like, get him practicing before the divisional round and go, okay, you're close. Let's hold you back for one more week. And then you're really ready to play an NFC Championship game, in my opinion. Now, he might say, you could win the divisional game because of me, right? And I understand that. I always err on, like, let's make sure it's really right for you, and that might be an NFC Championship game. It might be Super Bowl, but it just kind of – I see the division round and the Super Bowl as kind of the two extremes, and I always bet the middle on that one for an injury player. But hey, who knows? I mean, he does look like he's bouncing around out there.
One more thing about Fred Warner, and this goes into our observation that this was stark this season, that when a guy misses a lot of time, he's rusty when he comes back. He's not himself. He's not a superstar the first couple of weeks. I wonder whether the right maneuver for the 49ers would be to keep Tatum Bethune at middle linebacker when Fred Warner is ready to return, and play Fred Warner at that strong side spot, which has been, you know, a huge problem spot for the 49ers this season. You know, they're going to be playing perhaps the Eagles. They're going to be playing perhaps the Los Angeles Rams, who just vexed them when they went three tight ends in the most recent game. And so you've got Fred Warner, who knows all three spots. He's the middle linebacker. He has to know all three, who would be really good against the run and who would be really good matching up against tight ends. It would be a question, do we put Luke Gifford in there or do we put Fred Warner in there? And that could be sort of a stepping stone to him coming back to middle linebacker at some point.
I totally understand the logic of this.
Thank you. let's end the podcast right here.
But I don't think Fred Warner comes back as anything but the mic. I just don't think you know what? You're not the mic. Tatum Bethune's the mic. Tatum Bethune's going to be calling the signals. Like, I think you could, if you think this way, and I would tend to agree with you, especially if he's coming back for divisional round, is that if he comes back, he comes back for Mike, but he doesn't come back at full time. Now, again, he's going to want to come back full time. It's going to be hard to figure out when you don't put him out there. But I would maybe move Bethune to strong side if Fred is back. It's hard for me to see 54 out there and have 48 pointing out the defense and getting
them. Yeah.
That would be hard for me to consider.
The only issue with that is that Bethune isn't much of a coverage guy either. Yep. So I don't know if he would be a huge improvement over Luke Gifford at that spot.
Yeah.
But what should be doing is putting Eric Hendricks there. But they're not for some reason. And they didn't put Nick Martin there early in the season for some reason. So I don't know exactly what the thinking is.
I think it's Gifford's better against the run, and they're
he is for sure.
They're trying to protect. First things first, they would want to be as sound as they can against a run, and if they blow a pass coverage or two, they can survive it. Now, it's not 15 snaps a game. They play the strong side. You know, they'll play Pinnock in there. They'll go with Stout as the third cornerback with two linebackers. You know, there's not a lot of strong side linebacker play. But yes, you've seen them get burned on it through the air once or twice a game when it's scary.
But if it's the Rams, there would be a lot of strong side linebackers. Yes. So it would depend on the matchup. But, you know, if you're leery about Fred Warner being rusty or leery about him playing 70 snaps and you think that the strong side guy might play 45 against the Rams, just saying. Go with the Barrows approach.
To see 54 out there just getting someone else to tell him where he should be, I don't imagine that's going to happen. You go ahead and tell that to Warner yourself, Barrows.
It's not tantamount to telling Warner that you've been demoted, that you're off the team.
He's going to feel like that.
You've been gone for 16 weeks. So we need to kind of ease you back in.
It would really screw up the quarterback when, you know, they always got to identify the mic and they're going to be identified as not going to be Fred Warner. Like, guys. I was actually asking Purdy about that. Like, I always hear these guys, like Rivers was going crazy during that game and the mic was picking up. Like, here, you got him. I go, do you ever like fake guys out? Like, it goes, oh, there's part of that. Yeah, there's part. Like, you're setting up the defense by saying someone else is, you know, whatever. It's wild the stuff that you can hear the quarterback calling out on the play. Barros, you want to talk about the 49ers Media Award? How's that coming down? And when is this going to be? I always think you guys should push it out earlier because it gets more kind of pub that way instead of just doing it at the end of the year. So I hope you guys are doing it pretty soon. And what do you think the options are for the good guy?
You tell us what to do, Tim, and we'll follow your direction.
You did it one year, like super late. I go, what are you doing? No one's going to even pay attention to this. Like,
hey, write a column about it.
You did it like in March or something. Like, guys, that's probably not the best place to do it.
No, we're doing it as we speak. And there was one guy who was tardy, and I'm just waiting on that one vote. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but it was David Lombardi. And while we were podcasting, David came through with
his.
There you go. And let me just glance at it because it's interesting because it was a tie.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
That's interesting. This is going to be interesting. We could have a tie.
Yeah, he voted for someone who wasn't part of the leading group.
Exactly. Yeah. Barrows and Math are enemies. They've been enemies for the last 50 years or so. So I need to go back and re-add everything up, double check my numbers. But it does appear as if there might be a tie, and I'm not going to say.
Yeah, I do not have a vote in this. I'm not a beat writer. I would just say. But George Kittle won it last year, obviously incredibly deserving. Trent Williams has won it multiple times, obviously incredibly deserving. We owe a lot of our game columns and stories to Trent Williams's very trenchant analysis. I think Fred Warner's won it, I think, hasn't he? Or he's always
I don't think he has, actually.
Juszczyk's won it, but Fred would not be eligible probably this year because he's been
Staley out. Won it his final year.
Did Bosa win it one year?
He did win it. He won it a couple years ago.
Bosa's says some interesting things because he can, and I appreciate that he does. He's been very forthright again. He's been injured, so he wouldn't be part of it. He's not going to win it. I think McCaffrey's been very good this year. I just think, he's not the most colorful guy, and he often will have other things to do, but he's been much more available, and I think he's been pithier. So, again, I wouldn't put him up there with Kittle and Trent and some other guys, but I think...
But he's been there for 17 weeks.
Yes, also that we have needed him to be there to help our stories. And he's getting better. I think Purdy's getting better. Now, the quarterback's always going to be tough to win this work because the quarterback's only going to talk once a week. But I think Purdy's getting better and better. I throw those two guys out there. There are other guys. I think they're all good. I have not spent a ton of time in the locker room this year for whatever reasons. I spent the last 2 days. I'm going, man, this is a really good, like you pointed me to Tatum Bethune. Really good guy to talk to. Like, really thoughtful. Jair Brown, really good guy to talk to. D'Amador Lenore. Like, there are some guys in there. I knew this, but again, if you're, unless you're in the middle of it and just trying to talk to guys and get help from them on stories or help color your stories, you don't really know. Those guys are good. And there's, yeah. I know there are other guys than that. McKivitz is a good guy to talk to.
Pooney is establishing himself as a good
I've
guy.
Seen, you know, Alfred Collins is like supposed to be shy, but I see him talking all the time. So these are all good signs also for the future of the locker room, which we always care about. You know, you lose Bosa and you lose Warner. Like, those are two big voices that we've lost and the locker room's lost. But you do see other things blooming in there. And it's generally a really good locker room. I was talking about this. Maybe you were there about with a 49ers person. Like, guys walk in there and they see Kittle and they see Trent. What are you going to do, not talk? Like, what are you going to think the media is the enemy when those guys are approachable and thoughtful and set the tone by the way they address the media? These are all good things. So I didn't know I was going to get into this thing, but it's something I've noticed for a long time when those guys are your leaders, but also just by making sure I was back in there for the last few days, you really feel it. And hopefully you will see it in a couple stories I'll have next week, but we'll see about that. Those are TBD. Those will not be coming out tomorrow, but these are things that you can go to player and talk to guys. Sky Moore, you encouraged me to talk to Sky Moore. Great.
I like Sky Moore. Yeah.
Great guy. You know, Sky Moore, Eddie Pinero are right there together. Pinero is a little edgier probably, but he's approachable. Like, these are the part of the 49ers culture. They're not acquiring guys because they're good with the media, but it tends to be their kind of guy, which is out front, blue collar, loves football, often is a guy who's good with the media. Often. Oh, Mac Jones. Jesus Christ, he could possibly win. I mean, he's been incredible for you guys. I have not talked to him as much, but I'm looking at the quotes. I'm going, Mac Jones is like I think you mentioned today, you know, backup quarterbacks can be tense and, you know, plotting and scheming. Blaine Gabbert's always my example for that. I couldn't stand him because I always thought he had an agenda. I always thought he was trying to, you know, he wanted to be the starter over Kaepernick. And it just, everything he said felt to me political, felt to me like he was trying to set something up. And I don't like that guy. I don't like that from guys. And Mac Jones is not that guy. Mac Jones is free and loose, has seen some things. He's not the starting quarterback, but he did play. I wouldn't give the award to Mac Jones, but, man, he's been good for you guys.
I mean, the Saints writers, when the 49ers acquired Thomas Morstead, three of them wrote me and said, oh, my God, you're so lucky. Yeah, yeah. Thomas Morstead is the greatest guy in the lot, and he is. I mean, he's, you know, like a encyclopedia of knowledge, you know. For example, he used to do the thing where Drew Brees would go through a game and it was so efficient that Morstead wouldn't punt. And so they would kind of hang out together and they would both put up a zero sign, zero punts. Mm. And now Morstead is doing that with Brock Purdy. So, I mean, he's just a fun and knowledgeable guy. Tons of energy. 40 freaking years old.
Oh, he's running around on the field all the time.
He's doing handstands before practice. That's part of his warm-up. He does handstands. I'm like, stop showing off. Come on.
You do that too, Bear.
Get old gracefully like the rest of us.
Oh, I talked to Morstead this week. Jeez, I mean, all those guys, again, I have not been in there as much, so I don't want to speak authoritatively, but those guys are the ones I was chatting with the last few days. And I used to come back from, I did not think the locker room was bad. Certainly, it's been a good locker room for a long time. But and Shannon has even said he inherited a good locker room. You know, they had Buckner and Armstead. Those are really good guys. Set a tone that, you know, this is a chatty bunch of people. They're chatty with each other and they're chatty with us. And I think it helps our stories. If they were angry with us and they still won, we still praise them 100%. I want to underline that. You still praise winning teams. But that this group is led by guys who are open about things. It just helps stories. It helps fans know the team better and know how the team works a lot more details. And I think that's something fans and listeners should appreciate.
Yeah.
All right. You got to clear out your stuff for Super Bowl stuff, right? Media rooms, clear it out tonight.
All in a box right now. It's
something. That's another thing to see. Like, the NFL's coming in and taking over their media room starting today or tomorrow, I guess. And that's not the only room that's taken over. They're not taking over all Levi's. The 49ers will still be practicing and playing and meeting. But there's definitely some rooms that are being taken over by the NFL. A lot of people like to go down there and write after games in the media room. Not me. Barros used to do that. But you cannot do that. It is closed. Like, there are going to be parts of Levi Stadium that are closed off to everything but the NFL starting tomorrow. Will be interesting as the 49ers kind of maneuver around that. And on Super Bowl week, they're out of there. They cannot be at their team headquarters on Super Bowl week. They will be at the hotels. Interesting question someone asked. I did not, like, can they go home during the Super Bowl week, or do they have to stay at the hotel?
Oh, I think during that last week, they have to stay at the hotel.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL wants players wandering around other than in the, you know, the scripted times they have off to be anywhere but the hotels, because security concerns, and they lock them down. So it will be very different to be at Levi Stadium, practice at Levi Stadium, have your meetings at Levi Stadium, do all your media at Levi Stadium, and then during Super Bowl, you are not allowed to go anywhere near Levi Stadium until game day. It will be pretty interesting if they get there. All these conversations is if they get there. All right, Barros, anything else?
No, that's it. There is a lot more, but we'll save that for another podcast.
Hefty episode, but there's stuff going on.
Yeah, we're at 57 minutes, TK. Yeah, this could be a record.
This is good stuff. This is when it gets good. We got many topics to left, though. We got a lot of stuff. We'll have tons going in next week. If it's a bye week, we can get a lot of stuff off the plate. If it's another playoff week, if it's a travel, it might be a little tighter, but we'll obviously do two shows next week, too. All right, everybody, that is the show for today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.